Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, we are going to be looking at verses 21 through 34. So let's just read the text before us, and then we'll begin to take it apart. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. We look at this section and we see a number of different parables that are here, don't we? And we look at this and there's a very specific purpose of God having these things inspired here, written for us, specifically for the purpose of causing us to understand what the kingdom of God is like. He tells us here that it's like a lamp that is brought to be put under a, or is brought and it's not there to be put under a basket or under a bed, but to be set up on a lampstand. Over the last, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the sower and how he's sowing seeds. And that as we look at that parable, that the seed is the word of God, and the word of God is being sown, and it's being thrown, and it's landing in a number of different places. And they don't know exactly where the seed is going to fall, but they throw it, and some of it lands on fertile soil. Some of it lands on hard ground, the stony ground. Some of it lands in those areas where it springs up for a little while, and then it withers away. Some of it lands in areas where the birds come in and snatch it. But we look at it, and it's this picture for us of God's word going forward, and we don't know exactly where it's going to go, and we don't know the exact outcome, but God calls us to just sow seed, to throw it, to send it out, to take his word, the gospel, the glorious message of Christ and him crucified, and take it and just throw it. Reach into our bag, take the seed, and throw it out. Not something where, as we looked at 2 weeks ago, that it's something that we're to be creative or in a place of trying all different new methods of how to figure out how to change the seed or change the way that we throw it or any of those things, but just take the word and send it out. Be faithful to sowing and looking and saying it's God who is doing it. It's like a lamp. You don't take a lamp that's in your house and put it underneath your bed. That wouldn't make sense at all, would it? He's saying, no, you take God's word, you take the gospel, you set it up on a lampstand. The idea is that it is to be seen. And then we looked at, just briefly, at that parable of the growing seed, where it tells us the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. We look and we see that there's this incredible picture of you throw the seed and then you go to sleep. You're able to look and say, God's in control of these things. We take the gospel, we take God's word, we take the message, we throw it out and we say, God, accomplish your purposes. I trust you. I trust you as I share God's word. You may have a family member who just does not know Christ, doesn't understand the gospel, doesn't have a heart that is soft towards the gospel, has not yet placed their faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and his work upon the cross, and your heart goes out to them, and you want them so badly to believe, and you want them so badly to come to salvation, and you look at it, and it can become so frustrating as you're ministering to family or to friends or even just somebody that you meet at work or sharing with somebody that you meet at a coffee shop, and you so badly want them to believe. And we had come to a place of being so frustrated with ourselves as far as, did I say it right, or is it something where I don't have answers to their questions? And yet, you see God saying, the kingdom of God is like a man that scatters seed on the ground, and he goes to sleep. He doesn't know exactly how it's going to work out, but there is this trusting that God accomplishes his purposes. You see in the book of 1 Corinthians where Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's God that does it. It's God that accomplishes these things. Paul says, I planted things, but Apollos, he came along and he watered. And we don't know when we scatter seed if it's going to be something where it takes root immediately or if it's something where later on somebody else comes along and they water. We don't know whether we're in that place of, as we're ministering to somebody, if we're the ones that are watering at that time. But we look and we say, God, we just trust you. We want to be faithful to taking your word, the gospel, and spreading it, sharing it, taking the glorious news of Christ and him crucified and going here into the uttermost parts of the world, proclaiming it. And John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We don't know. We don't know how God's word is going to work in somebody's heart, but we know that God's in control, and the Holy Spirit works in a way where it's like the wind. It blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. You can't tell where it comes from or where it goes, and that's exactly what God says as far as how it is of those who are born of the Spirit. And so we look at on, and as we continue in our study, it says, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, it is just the tiniest little seed, smaller than all the other seeds that are sown from farmers. And the people that were reading this at this time or hearing this at this time, they knew. They understood what mustard seeds were like, the tiniest seed. And Christ is saying it. The kingdom of God, it's like that little seed. It's something that looks so small as far as the significance of something so tiny that is dead. And yet you throw it, the water comes and nourishes it. It's there under the ground. And after a time, it sprouts up and then it continues to grow. And it grows into something in which birds will later come and nest in. A mustard seed brings about a bush that is sometimes 10, 15 feet tall. And it's coming from this tiny little seed. And Christ says, that's what the kingdom of God is like. There's times where something begins and it looks so insignificant. Something begins where it looks like, well, what is the big deal of this? What's the significance of something that is that tiny? And God says, yet I bring the increase in it. I look at the history of the church, and we see that happening over and over again, don't we? I mean, you have 12 disciples, one of them forsakes Christ. And we see from the 12 disciples, the early church, from the Apostle Paul, you have the gospel going to the uttermost parts of the world. I mean, within 40 years of the death of Christ, you see that the whole Roman Empire just hit and hearing the gospel and later turning to Christ. Amazing when you look at it. From fishermen and tax collectors, people where you would look and never expect anything to come from it. These people who all but one, it appears, are martyred for their faith. And yet, from these disciples going to India or to China or to Europe or to Northern Africa or throughout the Middle East, the gospel just spreads. It's like a mustard seed. It starts out so small. And yet God's saying, I'm going to accomplish my purposes. We look at people in history who have thrown out mustard seeds, taken their lives and said, hey, I'm gonna throw out this mustard seed. And we see the fruit that comes from that. We see what God does with it. I shared a few weeks ago about a story of this little tribe known as the Hamars up in northern India. This is this group of people who, even into the early 1900s, were known as one of the fiercest tribes in all of Asia. Incredible tribe that would just go through. They were known for taking the heads of the people they attacked and hanging them from the doors of their bamboo huts. British who ruled India at that time called them barbaric tribesmen. When the British tried to enter that territory, these tribesmen fought back and took 500 heads in just one raid. And following these revivals that were taking place in Wales, there was a man by the name of Watkins Roberts, who was a chemist. And he's hearing this, and he's hearing about all that's going on. He's a part of the revivals that are occurring in Wales, and he hears the gospel, and he sees what God is doing. He's a chemist, and he looks, and he says, I heard about this group of people that are there in northern India that are the most fierce of everybody in Asia. I want to go there. I want to go preach the gospel to those people. You'd never expect it. I mean, like, who says sign me up? I want to go to the people that just took 500 people's heads off and hung them from their huts. And this guy's looking saying, I want to go. He arrived there at the border, and the British authorities wouldn't let him go in because it was too dangerous. He lived amongst the tribes that were as close as he possibly could get, into the area where is as close to the Mars as he could possibly be without going in, because they just wouldn't let him go in. And he met some of the people and translated the book of John into their language. This isn't easy to do. I mean, to learn a language and to be able to say, okay, so what is the word for this and what is the word for that? And he stays there and lives amongst these people and makes a few hundred copies of the book and sends it into the surrounding villages. One of the books makes it into a Hamar village, and a neighboring tribesman read it to the people there, and they didn't understand what it meant to be born again. So they said, go get that guy and bring him to us. So they go and they get him. And after a week of teaching the Bible, these people, the chief and four other men decided they wanted to make peace with God, with the God of the Bible, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those four men was a man by the name of Chawanga, who became the first Mar preacher and traveled to every village teaching the Bible and planting churches. Thousands of people came to Christ, set up schools there for their children. Chawanga's son went to Scotland and then to the United States and translated the entire Bible into their language. This particular group that's there in northern India came to the point where 95% of them were Christian. 95% of a people that were an unreached people group just 100 years ago. 200 churches in that area. Chawanga's son said, except for Mr. Roberts, the only missionary we ever had was the Bible. Translated the Bible, went there. A little mustard seed of a chemist that says, I want to go to that people. And you look and you see a God who is sovereign that says, you take a mustard seed, you plant it, and what comes from that is a tree. That's how God works. Look at people like missionary Adoniram Judson. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I heard of him because in doing missionary work, one of the areas that I went to was Burma, now Myanmar. Went into that area and his name came up over and over again. And it was a name that I had heard before and I had read about, but I never placed it with that particular region. And so I started looking into his life a little bit more and started seeing some of the things that he did and what God was doing in his life. And it's amazing when you start thinking of this particular young man, grew up in the United States. His dad was a Congregationalist pastor. Mom was just someone who loved Christ. Raised their son in the ways of the Lord. And obviously a bright boy. He learned how to read in a week when he was 3. So that his mom could surprise the dad when he came home. Graduated from high school, later went to what would become Brown University, graduating 3 years, top of his class. But in those 3 years of being there, he became friends with a young man, Jacob Ames, who was a deist and didn't believe in Christianity, didn't believe in the Bible. This guy was someone who Judson looked at and thought, man, this is smartest guys I've ever known. And his faith, whether he had faith or not, he lost it. And I'm not saying he lost his salvation, but he lost his faith in Christ during his years in college. Came home. Didn't tell his parents till he was 20. Told his parents, I don't believe any of this anymore. Broke his mom's heart, his dad's heart. Asked that they'd send him to New York so he could study theater. Left, and God just worked in this man's life. Here he is going about and living for the things of the world. When one day he came to a city that he hadn't been to before, to visit somebody and to visit an uncle, and met a Christian there that was different than any other Christian he had met. At least so he thought. The next day he goes and he stays at an inn in which he had never been to. There's only one room that was available, and the keeper of the inn said, I'm so sorry, but there's someone who is very, very sick in the room that's next to the only room that's available, and he is moaning and loud, and he'll probably keep you up. And Judson thought, well, it's the only place to sleep, and so he stayed there, and told that throughout the night, this man was just moaning and moaning the entire time, and it just had such an impact. The guy was in agony as he was there sick. And Judson's listening to all that's taking place. And as he's hearing these things, it's just making him think about the torments of dying. This guy was dying, and it was just horrible to listen to him. The next morning, when he woke up, the man wasn't making any noise anymore, and so he said to the innkeeper, is the man okay? And the innkeeper said, no, he died last night. And it's just had such an impact on him because it was like, okay, I heard that man moaning until the very last parts. And he sounded like it was just panic that was coming over this guy as he was dying. And he was thinking of his own death and saying, I don't want to be in that situation. And he said, did you know who the man was? And he said, yeah, he was someone that had gone to Brown University. His name was Jacob Ames. His friend, he had no idea his friend was going to be in that hotel. It was a place that he had never been to before. And this guy that had led him away from Christ, he sat there and listened to this guy die throughout the night, and it changed him. He said, if that's what it's like to die without Christ, I don't want to be that man. He said, now he was dead and was lost. Those words just kept going through his mind. He was lost. And he realized that he was going to be lost too if he didn't change. And you look at this guy and he later leaves and goes to India. Marries a young lady who's 23 years old and heads off to India. Decides that he wants to go to Burma, and even William Carey said, don't go there. And yet he goes. And we look and we see that from this man going to this particular area, even though it took 6 years for there to be the first convert, what happened as a result was that the gospel spread throughout that area in an incredible way. Incredible way. He stayed there for 33 years before he ever even went home. And he went home after 33 years, not wanting to go home, but going home because his second wife, because his first wife had passed away just after being there for a few years. His second wife was sick, and for that reason, he went home with her for a short period of time. And we look at this, and the gospel was spread, and there came a place where now, at this particular time, in that particular country, there's over 3,500 Baptist churches that were part of that particular church that he went there to serve with. I mean, the gospel has spread. It's amazing to see what's taken place in that country. Met there with people, and I don't know if you know the history of what's taking place, but it's a very Buddhist country, and what's occurred is there were the Karen people, the Karenni people, the Chin people, and a few other tribes that had heard the preaching of Judson and came to Christ. And as a result, when the British had come in and taken over the area, they aligned themselves with the British in the midst of the war, and then the British just left and left it as a vacuum, and those people got sacked, and you still have up to this day refugee camps covering all of the country surrounding Burma with these particular Christian people because they were hit so hard with persecution afterwards. But you look and you see, like, it's just amazing to see what God did with one guy who says, I want to go to those people. We don't know of any believers in that particular area. I want to go to that area. I'll tell you, when I was at one of the schools that were there, we went into the school, and every class would just sing songs to us as we were going in. They'd welcome us with a song there in a refugee camp in Thailand that was filled with Karen people. And as they would sing, I'd say, can you translate what they were saying? It was so biblical and Christ-centered and God-exalting. Every word that they were singing was amazing. And you look and you say, where are you from? And they said, we're from this particular Baptist church. Judson was the one that came and ministered to the people in our area. And you look and you say, "Just it's a mustard seed. It's a mustard seed. You look and you think, here's a guy that just, he left, he went someplace. And you may look at his life and say, how sad. He went to this place, he lost his first two wives as he was there. He His third wife died just a few years after he died. He had 13 kids. 7 only lived out of their childhood, out of 13. There was a time in his life where the British attacked Rangoon, and as a result, they thought that anybody that was a Westerner was a spy, so they took him and put him in prison. Brutal treatment while he was there. Every night, he'd be hung upside down by a bamboo stick so that his head and shoulders were the only thing touching the ground, covered with vermin, had to shave his head. Torture, these people just would cry out at night because the mosquitoes would come and just bite their feet that had become so raw. And you look, and there was literally just an evangelism explosion that took place. Gospel went forward, and there are millions of Christians in that area from just a mustard seed that was planted, and as a result, it flourished and it grew. And you look at this, and it's so important for us to understand theology that way and understand God's word that way, to say our job is to take what God's given us, these mustard seeds, and it may be helping to send somebody out. We just had 3 guys from our church come back from Haiti, and we're going to send out more later on in the summer, it looks like. And it may be a part of sending people out. It may be going. It may be sending someone to Africa. It may be going and saying, hey, we want to come alongside Dr. Juvatine, who's up in Midigo and Safe Harbor, and it's just a mustard seed. It's not a huge organization. It's not something where you look at and say, wow, look at all the things that are taking place. You look and you say, hey, there's a hospital that's up in an area that's 95% Muslim, and there's a church that's there, and they've started a school that's there, and it's sweet what God's doing there. There's people coming to know Christ, and they're going out and ministering, and there's Muslims that are coming in daily, and they're hearing the gospel, and it's a mustard seed, and we're gonna just see what God does as a result of this, and I'm going to go, or I'm going to help support it, or I'm going to do these things, and it's just a mustard seed, and we look, and we say, but God's sovereign, isn't he? You look at things and you say, God can do anything. We have a couple members of our church that when the internet first started, after Al Gore invented it on a hot day, you look and just kidding. We know he really didn't. But these guys looked at the internet and thought, that could be used for the gospel. Maybe used for the gospel. That could be used for the kingdom. Let's see if we could develop a software that, or a program, whatever. I don't even see. That's how little I know about computers. We're going to make a website that people can go to, and they could get on and study the Bible. And we'll call it Blue Letter Bible, because that's made when computers had blue letters. I don't think it happens anymore. Well, let's just start this. Let's use this for the sake of the kingdom. Set up a website. People can go there, and they can study. You know, right now, they get 17 million times a month, someone goes to that website. 17 million times a month. We have people that just know computers. I'm always asking my wife, how do I do this? I don't know. They talk, and it's like they might as well be speaking a different language to me. But they're those guys that they were studying when I was playing soccer, and they learned how to do these things. And God took it. 17 million times people go to that site a month. You look and you say, it's a mustard seed. Something where you throw it out, and God says, it's going to take off. And it may be something where it never explodes into 17 million people seeing something. It may stay something where it, to us, it looks insignificant. To us, it looks small. But it's not. We have just a wonderful member of our church who said, I can sew. I like to do a ministry called Tabitha's Hands that makes quilts. And when someone in our church is suffering or has gone through a time of grieving or is going into surgery or is just in a difficult time in their life, we're gonna make these quilts, and then we'll tie the knots that are there And as we tie the knots, we'll just, as a church, as a group of people that are part of this ministry, we'll pray for that person. And then we'll give them the quilt so they have something that they can hold and they can know that they have a church that's praying for them. How many of you guys have received one of these at one particular time in the history of our church? I look and visit someone in the hospital and it's there on their bed. And you look and you think, it's a mustard seed. I didn't even start the ministry. I just sewed the quilt. Or I was there praying with them. And it may seem like something that's insignificant, but God looks at it and says, no, it's like a mustard seed. So the kingdom of God is like you take the gifts that God's given and you plant it and you see what God does with it. And you just trust him to bring about the results. We're to be like lights that are on lampstands. Not hiding. Not being in a place where we're being quiet about the gospel. But saying, God, you accomplish your purposes. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The victory comes through Christ. And so we look at this and we say, I want to labor. I want to serve. I want to plant mustard seeds, the smallest seeds. I want to be sowing seeds, knowing that God is sovereign, that he's in control, that he'll accomplish his purposes. I just want to do that and know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Reverence Bible Church, we're a small church, aren't we? We're just a small church. We look and you think, what could God do from such a small group of people? And we say, we're just a mustard seed. He's not dependent upon us. He's not dependent upon excellencies that are within us. He's a God who says, just throw this seed and I'll come along and bring the harvest. He uses us, people who are insignificant. We were blessed with a trip to Hawaii from some members of our church to get a little vacation. That's why I came back a different color. And we went there in a little over the last week, and we drove to the other side of Kauai because it's more green there. And we get to this area, and we spend some time there, and we're at the beach, and we meet a Romanian lady, and it was just sweet, and I used all the Romanian I knew in that one conversation but didn't tell her that, and she was so blessed. We end up spending a day with her later on, with her and her little baby. Sweet time being able to share Christ with her. We left there. My side mirror got knocked off on the rental car, and I wasn't happy about that. I was thinking, like, they're going to thrash me on that. And so we're driving home. We're about home, but back to the hotel, hour drive, and we thought, Tasha said, let's stop at this little area. It's just cute. I want to look at the shops. And I'm thinking, I don't really want to look at the shops because my mirror just came off. And she said, let's just stop. Maybe we could eat there. And so we stop and we go there and we start looking at some of the different restaurants. She's not thrilled with the menu on any of them. We go to a pizza place and she says, yeah, let's go there. But there was this little kid there that started like punching Jonathan in the head and my little 2.5-year-old, and I was just like, the mom was like, oh, sorry, it's just they're playing. I'm like, oh, he's looking at Jonathan like, Jonathan, son, I will teach you how to crane kick this kid in a little few years, you know, like, but I'm looking just saying like, this kid just keeps beating on my kid and the mom has no problem with it. We're not staying here. We're going someplace else. So we get out of line. We go look at a couple of other restaurants. Tasha's pregnant, and nothing sounds good to her right now. And so we just go, we look at menus, move on, look at another menu, smell the restaurant, move on. We went to several different restaurants. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, huh? And we finally go to this last one, and we're like, well, let's just, we'll cross the street, we'll look one more time. She looks at it, sees calamari strips. Psh, done. We're eating there. The hostess says, here, we got a table right here. And I said, no. Can we sit in the back? Because my kid, I just don't want him to be a distraction to everybody else in the restaurant. You're thinking high maintenance. We are. And so we go to the back table. The waitress comes up and says, I've seen that logo before. What's that logo on your shirt? I said, oh, this is for Reverence Bible Church. I pastor that church. Reverence. I know Reverence. I go to Rock Harbor. I've been out here for a couple months, and there's people that are going to Reverence from our church that I know. And I said, oh, that's nice. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, that's, you're being really nice. Give you a good tip. And later on, she comes to the table and says, can I ask you guys a favor? And we say, yeah. And then she just had tears started to flow. Can you pray for me? I had the hardest day. I'm so lonely. I don't know Christians that are here. And I just, this has been so hard. And I just need someone to pray for me. And I said, how about we meet up tomorrow? She was so excited. And we met up. And I get text messages from members of our church saying, hey, we heard that you met Marissa. She really did know our church. And it was so neat to be able to watch the whole process. She said, I was just praying for someone that day to give me a hug. And your wife gave the best hug I've ever had in all my life. And we met and just had the sweetest time ministering to her and being ministered to. And just watching it, and she knew that God brought us to her table to minister to her on that particular day. She can't wait to come here in less than a month to be a part of our church. Can't wait. Spent 3 days just visiting and talking about the Bible and encouraging her and being encouraged. Amazing. And you look and you say, it's just a mustard seed. It's just this small mustard seed, and yet God takes it and causes it to grow and to produce fruit. We need to believe that. We need to understand that. We need to know that God is sovereign. We need to know that God will accomplish his purposes. He told the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I'm with you always. All authority has been given me to you. Go preach the gospel. Go tell people about Christ. Holy Spirit has been given to you, he said prior to his ascension, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. The ascension, and Christ says, the Holy Spirit's coming upon you, and you're going to receive power. You see, you could be this little mustard seed, and as a result, something amazing takes place. Because you sow a seed and God brings in the harvest. You sow the seed and then you fall asleep. And God brings in the harvest. Missionary John Patton, who went from Scotland, part of the Reformed Presbyterian Church up there in Scotland, and went down and felt like God had called him to new Hebrides, the islands that are there just between Hawaii and Australia. Everybody said, don't go there. The last two missionaries that went there, they went and they got on the shore. And when they got on the shore, the people on the boat that watched them get on the shore saw them both get killed. And then they cooked them and then they ate them seconds after getting onto that shore.
I said, why would you ever go there? They'll eat you. Don't go there. And he went. He went with his wife. They had a brand new little baby. Shortly after being on that island, he lost both his wife and his baby. Sat there and just trusted God that he had called him to be in that place. He says, you can't even comprehend the agony and the grief that was taking place in my heart after losing my family. He stayed there on that island. Very little fruit came in the 4 years that he was there. Went back home for a short period of time and then came back again, this time to a different island that was there. In the course of his life, that as he was there, the entire island came to know Christ. The entire island. Everybody. As far as they knew, every single person became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ on that island. And you look and you say, this is just a mustard seed. You throw something out and you look and you say, God is sovereign. He could call somebody to a place like that. And he can even cause very difficult circumstances in this particular person's life. And yet God accomplishes his purposes. Think of Jim Elliot, who went down to South America. And you know the story, most of you know the story, how they were there, these men were there, and all of them that had arrived at this particular time were killed. What takes place? His wife, Elizabeth Elliot, goes back to the same people that killed her husband and ministers to them. And literally, a huge majority of people came to know Christ, even the person that killed her husband. And the fruit that came from that, a mustard seed. And we look and we see in Scripture that the seed goes in the ground, and there's times where the seed goes in the ground and it dies. But as a result of that, the fruit is incredible. And there's been missionaries who have been those people who have died, and yet the fruit has been amazing to see what God has accomplished. I want to be a church that looks and says, we're okay being small. We're okay being insignificant in the eyes of the world. But we are going to be a church that takes the precious news of the gospel, Christ and him crucified, and we plant seeds everywhere. We love Christ. We love the gospel. There's a passion for the gospel that is so intense that we cannot wait to tell people about Christ. Our family members, our friends, those that we are in school with, We want to tell people about Christ. A member of our church who has just been coming for the past few months, Ronnie, and he says, every morning I text all my friends to say, come to church. I text him back saying, dude, I'm the pastor, I'll be there. No, I'm just kidding, he doesn't send it to me. But he says, I text everybody on my phone, come. I love that. A passion for the gospel where it's just, hey, let's go, let's plant mustard seeds and let's see what happens. Let's see what God does. He could call us to a particular table in a particular restaurant in the middle of the ocean and use it for his purposes. He's sovereign. He's in control. He does these things. I want to be a church that has a heart for evangelism, a heart for missions, that it's not something where it's, okay, we're going to be a missions church. No, we're going to be people who know God's word, and as a result of knowing God's word, we love him. We love the gospel. We love each other. We're building each other up. We're strengthening each other. Everybody has different gifts. Some people are called to go, and other people are called to send, and all of us are called to pray. To minister to them as we go. Having a heart that just says, God, I want to plant mustard seed. I think of Kelly Schwartz, where her kids, her girls are growing up. They're in college now or going into graduate school. And you look and it's just, okay, Mark's a big boy. He could take care of himself, kind of, most of the time. I'm going to go. She's going places more than I think any of the rest of us are going.
all over the world. Just, I'll go. Plant seeds, teach people how to teach kids. I'll go. And you look and you say, hey, we can come alongside. We could pray. We could pray with them. We could pray with those that are working with Campus Crusade, Jesus Film Project missionaries that we support here as a church, Charity and Cindy over in Sudan, in the middle of the bush of Sudan. We can pray. We can send them emails. We can encourage them. We can ask them how we can pray for them more. We can support them financially. We can do these things. We're going to plant mustard seeds all over the place, all over this valley, all over this county, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. Not something that's a program, but people who love Christ, love his word, love the gospel, love those who are lost, and have a passion to spread it. And so we take the seed and we throw it. And we go to sleep. And we say, God, you're sovereign. You know. Help us to be faithful to the gospel. Help us not to try to change it. You can deliver it in all kinds of different ways. I've watched members of our church who are soccer players, and they go and they spread the gospel in the midst of their soccer. There's all different kinds of ways to be in a place of using the gifts that God's given us to sow seed. But the fact of the matter is, we don't change the seed. We don't change the gospel. We don't compromise the gospel. We don't try to make it so it's easier or people are less offended by the gospel so we can get more converts. Proclaim the gospel. Man is dead in their sins. We're lost. We're separated from God. We're going in a direction of spending eternity in hell. And yet Christ Jesus took all of our sins upon himself. He fulfilled all righteousness, and he could place that righteousness upon us. Through faith in Christ alone, we could have salvation. Because God has accomplished this. It's through faith alone that we can have salvation, through what Christ has done on the cross, and proclaim that boldly and with simplicity, and be faithful to it, and watch what God does. We sow seed. It's a mustard seed. It's small. It's the smallest of all the seeds that you would sow. And yet, God will do amazing things. He promises us that, doesn't he? We'll close with this. It tells us in Philippians, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Or Revelation 7:9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Do you notice what it says? John's looking, he says, I saw there was a great multitude, no one can number it. It was from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every tongue. A mustard seed started with 12 apostles. One of them forsook Christ. Spread from there throughout the entire Roman Empire. Spread from there even to the uttermost parts of the world. Here in the United States, here in this particular church, we are lovers of Christ because there was a mustard seed that was sown, and the Holy Spirit used that seed, used his word to change us, and he redeemed us, he regenerated us, he brought us to Christ. There are still well over 3,000 people in this world who have either never heard of Christ, or about 1% of the people on those groups are Christians. Oh, there are so many places that we could go to faithfully plant seeds. God help us to be in a place of, hey, Lord, you gifted me in certain ways. Also, the seed, I'll throw it out. You accomplish your purposes. We trust you. We have such a high view of you. We believe in you. We know you can send us. We know that you can accomplish your purposes. Just give me a heart that loves you, that wants to serve you. and help me to be faithful to the gospel. Amen? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we're thankful for your word this morning. Thankful for what you've accomplished. Thank you for the gospel, the glorious news of salvation that comes through the work of your Son, Christ Jesus, upon the cross. Lord, you were bruised for our iniquities. Our sin was placed upon you. You fulfilled all righteousness so that you could clothe us with robes of righteousness. And we know that it's by faith alone in your work upon the cross that we could have salvation. People have arrived on islands only to be killed seconds later. And yet you took that little mustard seed and it drove other people to go to those same places. And the fruit was amazing. You called members of our church to make quilts. Other members of our church to minister to the kids. Other people to be youth leaders or college leaders or sending people encouraging emails or an encouraging phone call or meeting with people for lunch. God, help us to be so heavenly minded, Lord, that we're always wanting to plant seeds, to water, to encourage, to build up one another, and to watch you accomplish your purposes throughout the kingdom. And may you get all the glory in the end. Lord, we're thankful that we can come and worship you now and worship a God who is sovereign over all things. We trust you. We're amazed by you. And I pray, Lord, that you would enable us through your strength, through the Holy Spirit, to go forth and bear much fruit. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.